It's good to be back, and you might be troubled to hear my voice. Someone told me that I sound a bit sexy nowadays, and I don't know what it means. I really don't. I have a cyst on my left vocal cord, and a doctor advised me that, you know, unless I cannot live with it, then I should go for surgery. If not, then let it be. So I'm following his advice. And I'm making the hearers suffer by listening to this hoarse voice. Anniversaries are special. I read about a couple getting ready to celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary. And they decided as a gift they would purchase a new vehicle. The husband wanted a new truck. The wife wanted a fast sports car. This discussion got very heated. Finally, the wife stated, "Look, I want something that goes from 0 to 100 in 4 seconds or less. And that's all to it." When the big day came, the wife went out to the garage, but there was no new car. Angry, she went back into the house looking for her husband, but he was not there. Frustrated and upset, she went into the bathroom to get dressed. And there, sitting on the floor of the bathroom, wrapped in a big red ribbon, her anniversary gift. Something that would go from 0 to 100 in 4 seconds. A brand new bathroom scale. That was not a happy anniversary. But our 60th anniversary is different. It is a joyous occasion. The Lord has blessed Zion. Bless us abundantly. And therefore we congregate, we take time yearly to praise, to thank, to recall His goodness and mercies upon us. So this anniversary, I want to take time to remind us of our one privilege and one duty, as pointed out by Psalm 100. I'm not going to study the whole Psalm of 100 and try to exegete, but draw these two key points, I believe, highlighted by the psalmist. Grateful worship and joyful service. Grateful worship, joyful service. Two things I believe every disciple, every follower of Jesus should desire to do well. Jesus, if you recall, when tempted by the devil in Matthew 4, he was taken to a very high mountain. And then he was shown all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these I give to you if you will fall down and worship me." What's the reply of Jesus? "Be gone, Satan, for it is written," Jesus quoting scriptures, "you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus brought these two together. Worship God, serve him. So, These are my two points that I'd like to share with you this evening. Worship God alone and serve Him only. Firstly, worship God alone. Psalm 100 calls us to worship the Lord alone and none other. Exclusive, the one and only. And to worship this one and only God, the true and living God of the Bible, gratefully or thankfully. But you say, how? Worship this God gratefully based on who He is. Who He is. If you desire to worship God gratefully, you must know who He is. Or else, how do you do so? And the psalmist says to us, there are a couple of things. First, the Lord, in the Bible, it's all in caps, this is the personal name of God, the Lord, He is God, according to verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. He's the one and true living God. Philosophically and logically, there cannot be more than one true and living God in the world. It just cannot be possible. We believe, according to Scripture, according to the revelation that God has given to us, the God of this Bible is the only God. And He is the one who deserves our worship, our praise, our love, our devotion. There was once a very infamous free thinker. And he met a poor working farmer who was on his way to attend church. Free thinker asked him, "Where are you going?" The farmer answered, "To the church, sir." The free thinker wanted to confuse and mock the farmer. So he asked, "Is your God a great God or a little God?" But the farmer gave the perfect answer. "Sir, my God is so great that the entire universe cannot contain Him. And my God is so small that He lives in my heart." Perfect answer. This is God. So great and so small. High and mighty. Near and dear. This is our God. This is the God we worship, we love, we adore. Our God is the greatest, the highest, the best. Do you know Him in this manner? The psalmist also continues to tell us that this God, we are encouraged, exhorted to gratefully worship. He is Creator. Verse 3 tells us, it is He who made us, and we are His. It is this true and living God of the Bible who has created us. The God we worship, the God we adore, is the one who created the whole universe. He is the Creator in the true sense of the word. He is able to make something out of nothing. That is creation. Man, at best, can discover, invent, construct, innovate, only God can create, making something out of nothing. The God we worship is a God who has created the entire universe and the earth and everything in them. The Lord is not only creator of all things in the universe. I want to emphasize one thing. The Lord, the God of the Bible, also is the creator of you and me. We are His. We are made by Him. We are the object of His attention, His affection, His love. We are His treasured possession. That's why He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die as our substitute, to pay for all our wrongdoings and sins, so that we may now gain access, get to know Him as our Creator. Through Jesus' sacrifice and substitutionary death on the cross, we are pardoned. Most importantly, we are restored to a right relationship to our Creator God. And then He made us His sons and daughters. And we have now the privilege of addressing Him as our Father in heaven. You see, unless you are properly related to God through His Son Jesus, you cannot worship Him gratefully. God, as your creator, knows exactly the purpose you are created for. If you are here tonight and you are desiring to find the real meaning and purpose in life, you should come to Him who has created you. Unless you come to Him, you will not discover what is the real purpose and meaning of your life. Once you are properly related to this God who has created you, you can then begin to discover the meaning and purpose of life. Many today are trying to find something to fill the void in their heart. Find purpose and meaning in life. But they are going to the wrong things. They should come to their Creator God and then in Him discover the true meaning and purpose in life. So, if you are to worship, if I'm to worship God gratefully, I must know Him as God. I must know Him as Creator. Thirdly, the psalmist says, I must know Him as Shepherd. Look at verse 3 again. It is He, know that God, He is God, that it is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God here is portrayed as Shepherd. And we are portrayed as sheep. Actually, it's not very flattering for us. It is a metaphor, a very fitting metaphor, because it illustrates our utter dependence or reliance on our God. You see, the sheep cannot survive without the shepherd. You realize that? Of all the animals that God has created, many have observed that the sheep is the most helpless and at times the most stupid. You realize that a sheep will not go near running water because it's afraid. That's why Psalm 23 says, he leads me by the still waters. A sheep, if it had ever turned turtle, I mean the four legs up, the sheep does not know how to get up. That's how helpless, how reliant a sheep is on the shepherd. And God is telling us that he is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We are totally, utterly dependent on him. Without him, we are dead. Without God as our shepherd, we are helpless. We are hopeless. We are useless. As our shepherd, God provides, God protects, God guides, and God watches over us. Because God is our shepherd, we read in Psalm 23 verse 1 that all of us know by heart, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Better translated, I shall have everything I need. He's our shepherd. All our needs are provided for. Do you know the God you worship as shepherd? That's the fourth thing. Knowing God, worshiping him as our God, the creator, the shepherd, and last but not least in this psalm is that he is good. He is good. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, G-O-O-D. God is the giver of all good things. Anytime you receive something good in life, you remind yourself, it comes from our good God. Whether it is exceptional exam results, or good health, or a supportive spouse that you have, or a loving and caring family you have, or the great business or job that you are having, or the unexpected pay rise, or the profitable venture or investment, and the list goes on. The God of the Bible, the God you worship, he and he alone is the giver of all these good things. Do you know that? See, experiencing God's goodness enables you, energizes you to worship him gratefully. But I want you to notice, the psalmist in another psalm, Psalm 34 verse 8 says, he didn't just say, the Lord is good. He says, taste and see the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. This is mango season, right? Mangoes galore. A couple of weeks back, I saw a store and they were selling big mangoes. And then there's this card that says, 3 mangoes for, guess how much? $2. 3 mangoes, $2? I couldn't believe my eyes. Anything that's too good to be true cannot be true, right? So I walked there and said, sir, 这个不是对不对啊? 对! 三粒两块钱! I was so happy I bought. Now, if you want me to eat mango, and you come by and say, you know, you described the mango in the most eloquent way. This mango, you know, is so juicy. It is smooth. It has not much fiber. And the taste is a little bit sweet, a little bit sour. It is not one-dimensional, as Lindsay will always say to me. Not one dimensional. You know, very important, very important. But all this description doesn't make sense to me, right? The real test is what? Slice it and then taste it. Ah, all that you hear about God that I'm talking to you about, have you tasted? Are you able to say, taste, the Lord is good? Have you tasted the goodness of God? You know, for a while, our congregation loves to sing the goodness of God, right? And the writer of this song aptly reminds us, he says, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. And all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so good. With every breath I'm able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. Will you do that? Will you do that? Is that an experience of your life? I ask a serious question. Do you know the God that you are worshiping? God who is God, the greatest, the best. So big that the entire universe cannot contain him. So small that he lives within your heart. And this God who is creator, he made you. He knows how you should function. And this God is your good shepherd. He takes care of all your needs. And this God is so, so good. You know this. Do you really, really know this? Is it just what some people say? Information knowledge of God. Do you just have information knowledge of God? But do you have personal knowledge of this God? Able to say, I have tasted. You know about God, but do you know him? You say your prayers, but when you know God, you pray. You know about God, you are just a nominal believer. But when you know God, you are a genuine believer. That's the difference. Many of us, or maybe some of us, a few of us, think that we are worshiping God, loving him, but actually, we are using him. You notice that? As long as I do my piety acts, I give to the church, I pray, I read my Bible, God, you owe me. You must bless me. You must give me what I want. That's using God. Not adoring him, not loving him, not worshiping him. This evening we remind ourselves, we worship the true and living God of the Bible, who has revealed to us that he is God, he is the creator, he is the shepherd, and he is a good God. If you really, really know him that way, your worship cannot be but grateful. But the psalmist not only tells us of our privilege to worship, adore, and love this God, but also reminds us to serve him with gladness. Serve him with gladness. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. We are restored to a right relationship with our Creator God so that we become His workmanship to do His work. Anyone with a pair of willing hands, a humble heart, can serve the Lord. God is more interested in our availability than our ability. I heard someone said that many people in church today wish to serve God, but always in an advisory capacity only. Let's talk. It's a privilege, it's a joy to be in the Lord's service. And we mustn't confine service to doing some work within the four walls of a church. It must be something all-encompassing. Worship is a service to Him. Giving is a service to Him. Praying is a service to Him. Witnessing is a service to Him. Teaching a Bible class full of young, rowdy kids is a service to Him. Helping someone in need is a service to Him. Doing household chores can be a service to Him. Working in your office is a service to God. Studying in school is a service to God. All that we are, all that we do is a service to God. Even if you are homebound, even if you lack the ability to move around freely, your service to God may be in praying for people. Through texting, through or messaging, you use your phone, your emails, your telephone, you encourage others. I like what this lady had in her office, a sign that said, "Ask me about God, I work for Him." You want to put this sign in your office, in your school, in your home? I've been asked often the last 2 years, "What do you do now, Pastor? You are retired." No, I'm reassigned, I'm redeployed. I happily tell people, I still work for God, and my benefits are out of this world. Joy, privilege in service. Our church theme, "Every Gardener is a Missionary," simply stated, you are either the missionary or you are the mission field. There's no in between. But many of us choose to be in the in between. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you naturally want to be in service to in the Lord, whether it is within or without the church. But as you take up service to God, I want you to ask yourself three things. Very important. Very helpful, I found, for myself. First, is the work from God? Is the work from God? That means it's given by God. It's not your hobby horse or something you want to do. Is it from God? Number two, is it for God? Our heart is so deceitful. Sometimes in service, we do it, but it is self-serving. It is self-seeking. It is self-glorifying. It is self-affirming. It is self-absorbed. So this question is very important. Is it for God? And it's important. If it's indeed for God, you will not be discouraged, even though you don't see fruits, because it's for Him. He decides. We plant, we water, but He gives the growth. So, is the work from God? Is it for God? And last but not least, the third question is it with God? He said, with God. We are co-workers with Him. We are not working solo, using our ingenious plans and strategy, but in partnership with Him, which is in reliance upon Him. Opportunities abound for service to God, especially if you don't care who gets the credit. Opportunities abound. Left, right, center, everywhere. A reminder to us at the church. They say, it's been said, the church is not a cruise ship. You know, you go for cruise ship, where there's a handful of people serving everyone else to make them feel relaxed and enjoyable. The church is not cruise ship. The church is a battleship, where all hands on deck, everyone serves the mission. The church is not a cruise ship. It is a battleship. It is a rescue ship. Someone even say, the church is not a country club. You are country club members, you know, right? You go there to be served. The church is not a country club. The church is a hospital. It is where the wounded, the sick, the broken, the marginalized, the afflicted, they come. And we are privileged to be there as channels, as God's hands and feet and ears and eyes to minister to them. One last point before I wrap up everything. When it comes to serving the Lord, don't miss this in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Don't just serve, but serve with gladness, joyful service. And serving the Lord joyfully, besides taking away the burden of the work, it adds tremendous blessing to your service. Worship God gratefully. Serve Him joyfully. So, grateful worship, joyful service, I submit to you, are interconnected, linked. When my worship of God is right, when I know Him personally, intimately, as my God, my Creator, my Shepherd, who is good in all, is good all the time to me, then my service flows out of it very naturally and joyfully. And when I really know and understand who this God I worship, I love and adore, I respond to serve Him joyfully. Put it another way. Show me a person who knows God intimately, personally, loves and worships Him gratefully. I will show you a person who is engaged in joyful service. And vice versa. Vice versa. So, my challenge to you is, think about this. Are you engaged in grateful worship and joyful service? If not, why not? If so, continue to do it. Continue to do it. And the Lord will bless you richly, marvelously. So may God help us. And all God's people, let us say, Amen.